Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Butcher, banker, drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Let's get it going. Friday edition of the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host James here, joined by one of our stars of sales. We have Aaliyah.
Hello.
And our program director over at 105.5 WIRI, Seth Habager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a great one out there. We're going to have some fun this morning. Coming up, we got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll be celebrating Friday, Saturday, and Sunday birthdays. Looking forward to that. Take a break, and afterwards, we're going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. I've got two theme songs lined up because I am not confident in the first one.
Oh, dear.
So I've got two TV show theme songs for y'all.
Interesting.
You're going to get one of them right for sure, and you'll win some free Culver's. We got that coming up for you a little bit later. Along with that, we're also going to get into the University of Montana has a 30-year Halloween pumpkin mystery.
Oh,
yes, okay. Yes. Cool. We'll talk about that.
Very cool.
We've got that one coming up for you in a little bit, everybody. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour, some entertainment news. We say goodbye to a guitar legend, Keanu Reeves, what his name could have been, and a Lifetime holiday movie that I did not see. I should have seen coming that I did not, and I will own that. I should have seen it coming, but I did not.
I can't wait to be all right. That is.
That's all coming up for you. Of course, we will also get into some other fun stuff. I've got a good one here about what's something you just don't get the appeal of at all.
Okay. Mm,
like, just don't, okay. Don't understand it and everything.
So many things.
There are, I was just talking to one of my students the other day, does not understand how people love fish tanks. Does not understand fish tanks.
Interesting. Okay.
Doesn't get it. Doesn't understand it. Never has. We were in quite a heated debate about it. Not really heated, but we were debating back and forth about it and everything. So all those things coming up, and it's live radio. You never know what we might get into. Like this one right here. The general consensus is that America's top three cities are New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago. I think you can probably throw Houston in there sometimes and take out Chicago, put in Houston. You know, maybe there's another city you could throw in there from time to time at different moments in America history, but that's pretty much the top three.
Mm.
And that's backed up by population, where they are the top three cities in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Again, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago. So people online are debating which city should get the title of America's fourth best city.
Okay.
I have thought about this my whole life. I admit, in part because of where I grew up, right outside Chicago and everything.
Right.
And it's something that pops in your mind from time to time. And I think it's kind of a fun conversation, especially because there's no right answer.
Correct.
If you want to call in and represent Albuquerque, New Mexico, I am fine with that.
That's cool. We can handle that.
If you want to throw Wisconsin Rapids in there, I'm fine with that. Now, this would be, of course, if we were going by population, be a very different conversation.
Sure.
But I think it's just more fun to kind of get into what would you like to see America's fourth major city? What would you like to say is and stuff? So if we're going by population, you're going to go Houston, Phoenix, Philadelphia, and then San Antonio.
Okay.
Hmm.
Anybody else surprised San Antonio got in there?
I am surprised, actually. Yeah. Yes, I am.
I mean, not at all with Houston, of course.
Right.
Phoenix a little bit. Yeah. Philadelphia, I don't.
That used to be like number four. Philly, back in the day, was like number four in population, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I don't think of Philadelphia as big. I don't think of that. Like, I think of it as not a small town by any means, but I never really think about them as a major metropolitan city, they are.
Would you put them before Boston, like, for instance? It's like one of those things where would you even think about it?
I wouldn't put them before Pittsburgh. Like, and I don't mean that as an insult.
Right, yeah.
Just, I think of Pittsburgh as, I actually am surprised Pittsburgh is not higher on this list. I would have thought they would have been. But there are other things to consider, though. Washington, D.C. is the nation's capital and the center of politics and government.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that should be brought up into the conversation.
Sure.
And then San Francisco is the unofficial capital of technology and multicultural hub. So, I mean, there's one to reference. And then there's our callers. Let's go ahead and find out what's on your mind. Good morning. You're on the show.
Well, what about Miami? Where do they fit in?
Oh, yes.
See, that's a good one.
Great one. That's a really good one right there. I don't see them on the list here, but that's one that should be brought up. Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, sir.
Awesome.
Have a good morning. Keep getting in your suggestions, everybody. We want to hear them. 715-424-2600. I know that population-wise it doesn't work, but I love Madison. I love Madison. I love Madison. I throw that one in there.
There's those cities that like have that like art culture, you know, Madison, Austin, you know, and that's that kind of are in there. So,
I got this article from the BBC. There's two other cities, or a couple of other cities they mentioned, like the caller just did. I'm sorry I didn't see that. I didn't pre-read this one. I wanted to have fresh eyes like you guys did. Miami is the second most visited city by overseas travelers and America's, quote, gateway to Latin America.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
And I know to a lot of my friends growing up, that was Miami in many ways was considered a little bit like Plymouth Rock, and like the modern version of it and everything.
Yeah. That makes sense.
There's some major locations there in Miami in particular where for century, decades, many Cuban immigrants have been Americanized over and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one. That's a good one to mention. Atlanta is the home of the world's busiest airport. And, of course, Atlanta, A-Town, that's a pretty big one right there.
It's a massive.
I've never been to Atlanta.
I've driven through it and don't want to do it.
you want to talk about poor traffic? Atlanta's bad. It's really bad.
It takes forever to through it.
Atlanta, or Georgia, reminds me a little bit of Illinois in many ways, where I hear people talk about Georgia is one thing, Atlanta, whole different thing.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago's one thing, the rest of Illinois is kind of a different thing.
It's as a non-Chicago and Illinoisan, I will agree with that. The rest of us are better.
I got no defense. I have no defense. And there's also Boston, which is one of the country's oldest cities and home to many universities, museums, entertainment.
Right.
So where I want to go with this one, New York City, East Coast, Los Angeles, West Coast, Chicago, Midwest.
Right.
I feel like we should include the South in this.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Also, like the mountain ranges, like Denver is a pretty cool city.
The West, quote unquote, the West is such a... It's such a vague term, you know, it's like everything west of what, Nebraska or something like that is the West, even though lots of differences, you know, you got the mountains, you got the deserts down in the Southwest, you got California as its own thing, you know, and the Northeast.
I think that's such a great point, man, because I thought about it while I was out there, because a lot of people in California were just like anything basically past Nevada was you know, Midwest or whatever and stuff.
Exactly.
I kind of found that I was doing that a little bit with the West until I moved out there myself, and every one of those states are so very different.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona and California alone are so night
different.
And day
completely different from each other. So and then throw New Mexico there, and another very different state.
Solid point.
Yeah,
where I don't know, like out east, and again I haven't been out east, but I don't know if there's a gigantic difference between Delaware and Vermont. I don't know that there's a gigantic difference between New. Is there? Okay.
Oh yeah.
I was really asking the question.
I grew up in Southern Virginia, and my mom had relatives up in Massachusetts, and we would drive up that coast when I was a kid all the time. And just I was out in Massachusetts last October for my cousin's birthday, and we drove up to Maine, which is only about a 2-hour drive from where my cousin lived, but just going through Vermont, New Hampshire, you hit different cultures. We stopped at a gas station, and people were speaking French in a gas station in New Hampshire because there's a large French influence there, even all these
from the French Canadians,
hundreds of years later. So I mean,
it's fascinating.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Wow. That is pretty cool.
I especially this time of year, I think like a lot of people and stuff. You think about Vermont and some of those areas up there, Maine, and just like seeing the trees and all that this time of year would be beautiful.
That would be arguably absolutely gorgeous.
We're just as gorgeous here with our colors, and that's what I plan on doing this weekend. Me and my husband are just going to take a drive and look at the fall colors.
That's it.
Right on.
An awesome thing to do.
Is there room in the back seat?
I got room for three in the back seat.
Make a periscope in the trunk. You'll be fine.
I promise. I won't be like, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
I will just turn around and smack you.
Understandable.
Here's some snacks. Shut up, James.
It's really interesting, you know, this debate, because you think about, you know, New York and Los Angeles and Chicago, they're all known for something. They've been big for so long.
Right.
And that's part of it. You know, New York was, you know, it is, you know, the immigrant city, you know, the melting pot city because of all the people that live there. Los Angeles, you know, has the not only the Spanish influence, but it's got, you know, the Hollywood thing for centuries now because of the movie thing that has really influenced that. And then Chicago, you know, it's the big port and the big, you know, lake and all the, you know, the rendering plants and the slaughterhouses. It was like
every train like connects the to hub, your right? Main station.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Every train in the country connects there.
What does Houston have? That's the question. Houston may be the fourth largest in terms of population, but it's a new big city.
Heat.
It's grown. Yeah, it's got heat.
A lot and of spaghetti junks.
Space it, you know, because it's got the NASA connection, you know, Houston.
Oh, there you
so
go.
There's that, which is cool, right?
Yeah.
But you think about the other cities like Philadelphia. Wow. You know, birthplace of the nation kind of thing. You know, that's where a lot of important things happen. Or you think of New Orleans, and if you're going to go to the South, you know, all the great culture down there in New Orleans and that kind of
so
thing.
Great.
So it's this is a really fascinating discussion to have because of all the difference, because it's such a big country and there's so many different things about it.
I love these ones where I don't think there's a wrong answer necessarily.
Exactly.
Just throwing it out there because it hasn't been brought up, but Las Vegas is a pretty big.
It's its own thing, right?
Seattle.
Yeah.
Or even Seattle has
Seattle
its own thing.
Seattle is so cool. And unpopular opinion, I lived in Indianapolis for about 15 years, and it's actually it's a pretty great city. I don't love Indiana. That's why I live in Wisconsin. But as a city, Indianapolis has a lot of really cool things, and it's close to a lot of other places.
And it's right in the smack middle of the state, which just really, I love that for some reason.
Only,
it's
like,
right in the middle of the state.
From Chicago. Yep. You're 3 to 4 hours from St. Louis. You're 2 hours from Cincinnati. You're 3 hours from Columbus, Ohio. Like, so
Memphis is not far away.
Yeah,
Nashville,
so
you know.
You're like a 7 hour radius. You're in a whole lot of other. Maybe I'm not selling this because I'm saying if you live in Indianapolis, you're like in a 7 hour radius of a lot of other cooler
going elsewhere.
Cities. I retract my statements.
I wouldn't have thought of that though. I've only driven through Indiana. I don't know Indiana that well.
As
that's
most
a good one.
People have.
Nice. That's why they're so bitter there.
Minneapolis, Detroit, Cleveland, other cities that I think should be mentioned. Nashville, you know, Memphis, as long as we're going to Tennessee.
Why not?
There's a good one. I wonder, now, so this article also said something kind of interesting, I think, about the cities that, you know, people visit the most from out of the country, that come here to visit most. And, you know, we had those for you with the major cities that we have already, and then throwing in there Houston, Miami, and some others. That is another one, too, where when we bring up Vegas or you bring up Seattle or some of these other ones that are they're visited a lot by people from out of the country and stuff.
Exactly.
So that's another one. That's another factor too. Again, we'll take your votes, everybody. Who do you think should be known? What city do you think should be known as America's fourth major city? We'll take a quick time out, come back, and do some celebrating with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR.
Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live but once, and when you're dead, you're done. So let the good time roll.
You heard the man. Time to let them good times roll and get into some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe in the Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day. We get to celebrate you, talk about our great friends at El Cafe. Visit them today at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Of course, keep in mind, they got some great stuff going on throughout the morning into the afternoon. But tonight, they're getting even more and more famous every Friday. Their Friday Fish Fries going on. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And, of course, get us your birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you. Email us info@WFHR.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, or you can call on up.
715-424-2600. Wish someone a happy birthday on the air for today or the weekend or next week. It doesn't matter. We don't care. We'll just take him.
We love live birthdays and anniversaries.
We do. They're great.
Get them to us, everybody. And let's see here. So, Aaliyah, I need a 1 through 3.
I'll go with a 3.
All right. Because that one.
She sounded like she was on a game show. I'll take a 3 bomb.
That was pretty good.
3 for $500.
What is 3? What is And Seth, I need a 1 or a 2.
1.
All right, gives us that one. So boom, boom, boom. We are all set. We can jump right in. And first up, we want to wish a very happy 33rd anniversary to Dale and Tina Dahl.
Oh, Dale and Tina Dahl, Mr. Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, he was the music teacher at the middle school, but he is now retired.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Congratulations to him.
Happy anniversary to them. Yes.
Happy birthday to Sherry Romansky.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Sherry. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifier today, this Friday, October 17th, Fran Bailey Gokey.
Happy birthday.
Fran, happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Fran. We hope it's a great one for you. We take a look at Saturday, and we wish a very happy birthday to Pam's cousin and Pam's cousin and her husband, Kathy and Bob Mayer. Kathy Eskert grew up here in Rapids and everything, so we wish them both of those. And
happy anniversary to them.
Hope they enjoy. Hope they enjoy.
Have a great day.
Very cool.
And our lone qualifier for Saturday is Mr. Harold White.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Harold.
Enjoy your day, Harold. Hope it's a good one for you. And we take a look at Sunday, October 19th. We wish a happy birthday to Civic Media's own Ricky Johnson.
Happy birthday, Ricky. Happy birthday.
Ricky, one of our hosts at WRJN in Racine. Hope he has a good day. Enjoy your day, man. We also wish a happy birthday to Sean Rogers.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy the day, Sean. Hope it's a good one. Mm-hmm. And our qualifier on Sunday, Pastor Corey Schaefer of St. Luke's Lutheran Church here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Pastor Corey.
Pastor Corey, hope you have a great day.
Yes,
enjoy your day,
absolutely.
Sir. Absolutely. To all of our qualifiers, all of our names mentioned here and everything, we encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers, animals. Let them know you're a qualifier and let them know about the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club.
Absolutely.
We take a look at who you share your birthdays and anniversaries with. Felicity Jones is 42 today.
Ooh.
Good actor.
Yes.
Good. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and On the Basis of Sex. They're one of the stars of Rogue One.
Yeah. She's good.
The greatest Star Wars movie. and Stephen Hawking's wife in The Theory of Everything. Like,
I missed that one. Wow, that's cool.
I don't know that she has the most recognizable name or face, but I feel like you see her work and you will not forget Felicity Jones.
She's really good.
And she does not work that much, but when she does, I get goosebumps thinking about some of her performances.
That's really cool.
She's good. Eminem is 53.
Wow.
Marshall Mathers III is 53.
Wow.
I always forget he's older.
Used to believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Too bad. It's right there.
Old. In an odd way, I've seen this so much with so many of the 90s rappers and you know, early aughts rappers that we grew up with and everything. And so many of them are having a hard time figuring out how to be an adult or how to dress. Like, for every, like, Andre 3000, where he's kind of like, you know, I outgrew rap. It doesn't make sense for me. I'm in my 50s, man. It doesn't make sense for me to doing that anymore. There's a lot of rappers that are still doing it and still kind of, like, doing their same gimmick. Eminem has evolved. He's definitely in his 50s.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say he's dressing like a 50-year-old any more than he's dressing like a 90s guy or anything. Like, he's just kind of evolved into who he is and not changed. I loved the fact that he's been around long enough to now where people are talking about him, and him being a white rapper is like the 20th thing they bring up.
Yeah.
It's way down the line now. It's more about, that's one of the best lyricists we've ever heard.
Yeah.
Right.
That's one of the most different rappers we've ever heard. A guy who took the game into a different direction and everything.
Bit of a genius.
Yeah. Yeah. Just incredible. Yeah. Really good artist. Ziggy Marley is 57.
Nice.
Of course, son of Bob Marley.
Yeah. Yep.
Mike Judd is 63. I don't know. Incredible comedic genius, man. I mean, he's good. Look at Mike Judd's resume. Office Space, Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill. Where he came up with the creations of so many of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple of other great shows, too. He's got one. It was an animated show that had interviews with it, where it was basically talking to people when they went on tour. And so, like, some of the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd or certain bands, a lot of country artists.
I vaguely recall that,
It's an amazing show if you get a chance to watch it, and some stories that I had never heard. They were like talking to the real people and stuff about them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Jackson, 67. We celebrated that on the Sunrise Show.
Good for him.
The great Michael McKean is 78. One of the most underrated actors any of us will ever see. Lenny in Laverne and Shirley. Spinal Tap lead singer. And certainly he was on SNL for quite a while and stuff. Great actor.
Better Call Saul. He was pretty good on that. He was so good on that.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Some people no longer with us. Margaret Kidder. Lois Lane for a lot of us.
Man, she was great. And she was in a lot of great movies in the 70s, but
born in 1948. Norm! Chicago's own George Wendt, born in this day in 1948, just passed away this year.
Just recently,
Also great voice actor.
Actor, song and dance man. He was on Broadway.
Yeah.
Uncle to Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Norm MacDonald, also born in this day in 1959.
Wow. Another, well, one was a fake Norm, but that was a real Norm, yeah, yes. Right.
But I think of Norm MacDonald like that band that never really had a hit song, but everybody loved. Like, you know, all the cool people knew you loved.
Oh, dude, like, that's a great analogy. He's the Velvet Underground of comedy.
Yes, yes.
That is what he is, man. The big star, for those who know that.
Yeah. Evel Knievel, born in this day in 1938. Wow. Certainly one of the legends. And one of the guys that, like, took that, like, jump. I don't know that anybody could do it anymore. I don't know.
Not
that,
really.
This thing
anymore. I know his son tried to kind of carry it on. That didn't really go anywhere. Yeah. He was the one
that
everyone paid attention to, because he was the one that he did all these crazy things. And, man,
yeah,
he was amazing. So, something else.
He just became a term. Like, you know,
yes,
you see
exactly.
someone doing something crazy, like, hey, slow down, Evel Knievel. Like,
right.
That, mm-hmm. That's legendary.
He became, part of the culture. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a great way to put it. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But yeah. Taking a quick look at Saturday and Sunday birthdays. On Saturday, Lindsey Vonn is 41. Man, you get to see Lindsey Vonn ski.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yes.
Do it. Incredible. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Martina Navratilova is 69.
Oh. Whoa.
If you were lucky enough, you got to see one of the best tennis players of all time.
Time. That's right.
Man, her and Graf, those two going at it, it might as well have been two prize fighters going at it. It was just so much fun watching them as a kid.
Icons as female athletes.
Yep, that's right.
Chuck Lorre is 73, creator of Two and a Half Men, The Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, Mike and Molly.
A gajillion shows that have made him a gajillion dollars. Yep.
I think his most underrated show is Mom.
That's a good one.
I didn't get to watch a lot of it, but what I saw of it, that was a great show.
That was an interesting show.
Yeah.
I got to give him credit for that one.
I've got like a couple of names. Winona Ryder, Sophia Loren. There's a couple of names of like early crushes I had when I was a kid.
Sure.
It may have been, I don't know if second or third on that list, Pam Dauber, 74 today, for Mindy from Mork and Mindy.
That's right.
I love Pam Dauber.
Psychoanalyzing you again.
Oh, please. Yeah, go right ahead. And good luck and welcome.
Welcome to the madhouse. Yeah, exactly.
Leave a bread trail. Leave a bread trail. We almost lost Melissa. She almost lost her in the early days. Mike Ditka, born on Saturday, 1980. He's 86 on Saturday. One of the greatest tight ends of all time.
Yes.
And then some people no longer with us who have been celebrating birthdays on Saturday, like the great, the legend, Peter Boyle. Frank, of course, on Everybody Loves Raymond. Mm-hmm. The Wizard and Taxi Driver.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great roles over the years. Yeah. A lot of like bit roles over the years, really, while he was building up and everything. Of course, he is the monster in Young Frankenstein.
Yep.
My dad and I were just watching Young Frankenstein the other day.
Very, very good. This is one of my favorite, very good guest starring role on an episode of The X-Files called Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. It's an excellent episode.
It's a great episode.
It's a good one.
You know,
yeah.
My family's always trying to get me to watch Halloween movies. I'm going to pitch Young Frankenstein because
I can handle that one. Fun one, yes.
It still holds up. I just literally watching it, I think, Tuesday night or something like that.
I just need the tamest there Halloween you go. Stuff. I'm a chicken.
It's one of those movies. Oh, that's all right, though.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's one of those movies. My dad had it on, and I come into the room, and I was busy. I was doing things. I come into the room, and I realize, I've been watching this with him for like half an hour.
Just sit down.
Just got sucked into it and everything. And Chuck Berry. As we look at Sunday birthdays, I just wanted to look at that's a wrap up of Saturday birthdays. Chuck Berry would have been celebrating a birthday and born in 1926 on Saturday tomorrow. Then a quick look at Sunday birthdays. A shout out to Jillian Jacobs, who is 43 on Sunday, community actor, been in a couple of movies here and there, like the movie No Names, where I got to meet her. And she is so sweet. Such a sweet human being. Let's see. Jason Reitman is 48, son of Ivan Reitman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did the most recent Ghostbuster movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Trey Parker is 56, South Park co-creator. Wow. Also conquered Broadway with the Book of Mormon.
Newly minted billionaire. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just... big time fan of Trey and Matt. Jon Favreau is 59, Mandalorian creator.
Yeah.
Also known as Happy on the in the MCU universe
kinda
and everything.
Kicked it off directing Iron Man.
Elf. Directed Cowboys and Aliens, The Jungle Book, The Lion King remakes. But let's not forget him as an actor in the movie Swingers.
I knew it. I knew you were going there. He's so fun. He's so awesome in that movie.
He's
I love it.
So darn good in that movie. And Aaliyah, you were mentioned about how you feel about horror movies. Mm-hmm. I'm on the same wavelength. But they don't do anything for me. They don't scare me. They don't do anything. The scariest scene I think of all time is Jon Favreau in Swingers leaving like 80 answers on an answering machine.
Yeah,
just calling up his ex girlfriend and everything. It's
the most uncomfortable scene.
It's so uncomfortable.
I've been meaning to watch that for 20 plus years. I still haven't gotten around to it. So maybe that's my weekend assignment.
It might be a good one. And let's see. Evander Holyfield is 63 on Sunday.
Whoa. Wow.
The legend John Lithgow is 80 on Sunday.
Love John Lithgow.
Love him so much.
What a fantastic career.
Of course, great character actor, great actor in general, and great voice actor with the Shrek movies and mm-hmm. some of those. Yep. Third Rock from the Sun. Incredible dark turn in Dexter. One of the darkest characters of all time.
He played a couple of good Dexter villains. He's forgotten. Villain. People forget he's really good at playing villains.
So
he did. I know it's not a great movie, but Cliffhanger. He's good in that one as the villain.
I'm
going
to die on this hill. His best film of all time. I will hear no objections to this. Is Harry and the Hendersons.
It's the one.
The John Lithgow. I don't care who you are.
Just go, Harry. Go. Get out of here.
Do you not like sob when he's telling Harry to leave? I'm like, no, keep him.
For those that don't know, he has just recently been cast as Albus Dumbledore on the upcoming Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
Oh, he has? Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
That's an interesting choice, but man, I got no problem with it.
John Lithgow, he is one of the best at poking fun at himself, too. Yes. I've never noticed about how he kind of does over the top. Really well. He does make fun of himself for that, though.
To that point, Aaliyah, I'm not going to argue with you about the Harry Anderson, but I will just throw out there for another reference as his work on Saturday Night Live and with John Lithgow, or John Lovitz in particular.
Okay.
I was acting!
Yeah.
Acting!
That is good. That's a great bit.
So good. We encourage everybody to celebrate their birthday and anniversary and share their birthdays and anniversaries with us. We'd love to do that. Encourage you to head on over to Cafe today. Got some good stuff there for you, everybody. We'll be back with the Culver Star of the Day right here on the morning show. Lights, camera, action. It is time to make somebody a star of the day with our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Culvers. What Aaliyah, Seth, and I are about to do is play a famous TV theme song for you. If you know it and you haven't won anything in 30 days, you call up, you get the answer right, boom, just like that, you get a kids meal and adult meal from our Wisconsin Rapids Culvers. Big shout out to our Wisconsin Rapids Culvers. Mm-hmm. Wherever you have a Culvers, you have one putting back into the community. We appreciate them for that. Get some Culvers in your life, everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe get some free Culvers in your life.
That's right.
If you can guess what this theme song is. Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Kind of thought this was going to happen. Give it another five.
This is one of the... I've never heard this without, the announcer. I would give a hint, too. Without the announcer talking over it.
Yeah.
Introducing the show.
Yeah. Given that it's a weekend show that only is on one night a week live.
Right. One night a week. That's right.
It is really a little tough for one to figure out.
Yeah, it is.
Everything. That is a very sweet saxophone in the background.
I'm digging the sax. It's great.
The theme song, it takes a little bit of the 70s because it's been around since the 70s. I think 1975?
Maybe is that what it was? 50 years or something like that?
I don't think anybody's giving this up. All right. So I will go ahead and move on. I did have a backup plan, everybody, like I always do. So here we go. Here is another one for you. Call up if you know what TV show this is from.
Come on.
Now you guys are just playing hard.
Yeah, now you're being mean. There we go.
There we go. Let's see if we have ourselves a winner. Good morning. What's your answer?
I'm going to guess I Love Lucy.
You are correct.
That is a good guess, sir. Woo-hoo. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Who do we have on the phone with us?
My name's Ron.
Ron, thank you so much for listening and playing along. What town are you calling us from, Ron?
Town of Grand Rapids.
Right on.
All right.
Oh, we haven't had anybody from Grand Rapids in a while. That's
nice.
Awesome.
I bet you do. They just say Wisconsin Rapids.
Might be.
He's very specific, though. He's very specific.
We like the specific.
Yeah.
We like that. We appreciate that. Ron, did you grow up or did you watch I Love Lucy at all?
Well, occasionally, I guess.
Okay. All right.
Never a fan of it, I guess.
So. you watched it. Maybe you are now because you got some free Culver's because of it. So, Ron, we appreciate you listening and playing along, hanging along, going to get a little information from you off air, but you're our newest star of the day.
Thanks, Culver's.
Yeah, that's very smart.
Big shout out to Culver's. So, why did I do these in particular? Well, like everything else I do, it has to have a meaning. it was on October 11th in 1975 that the Not Ready for Primetime Players began. George Carlin, the first host.
Yeah.
Actually, Amy Poehler, in the most recent host, referenced this and referenced
Carlin, that's cool. That's cool.
She killed it, by the way. She was amazing. So, I wanted them to play a Saturday Night Live theme song. That's what we did to start off with and everything. I took the 90s one just because it seemed like one of the more popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I Love Lucy, where Ron just won. Well, it was on October 15th in 1951 that I Love Lucy premiered.
Wow. That's cool.
So I thought it'd be, those would be fun ones to play.
Interesting juxtaposition there. Yeah. Those two shows.
Two very, very,
very different shows. Yep.
We couldn't stump Ron. Ron got it.
Ron got it. He's all on that.
Very groundbreaking shows, too.
In a lot of ways. You are right. You were not wrong. Yeah.
Eternal. You can't tell the history of TV without either one of them.
You got it.
So we appreciate everybody listening and trying to play along and everything. Be like Ron. Listen next Friday for another opportunity to win some free Culver's with our good friends at the Wisconsin Rubens Culver's and our star of the day. We'll be back with more show coming up.
Paul Marks portrayed himself.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great day out there. Want to say a big thank you to everybody who tried to call in for the Culver Star of the day. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for playing along, everybody. Be listening next Friday for another great one we got lined up for you. I got a special show lined up for you next Friday. We'll be talking more about that next week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. And we're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got a couple of fun things to get into, like this mystery. And I do believe we've talked about this one on the morning show before, but it's been at least a year or two.
Okay.
If you don't spend a lot of time in Montana, you may not know about the mysterious pumpkin that appears every fall stuck on top of a spire, high atop the University of Montana's main hall in Missoula.
Hmm.
Okay.
It's been happening annually for 30 years. And it's not as simple as someone climbed on the roof. You'd have to get up there, then climb the multi-story clock tower, and then scale the spire and stab the pumpkin with it.
Whoa!
That sounds complicated.
Yeah.
It's such a perilous climb that the university has tried to hire professionals to get the pumpkin up there safely because they're worried about students basically, you know, hurting themselves or worse.
Right, right.
Okay, but in 30 years, no one has, so maybe they need not worry.
Wow, that's wild.
But the students have just added that to the challenge, working to get it done before the university does.
Oh, my gosh.
Because this is who we are as human beings. You know?
I guess. Supposedly,
no one knows who does it. So it's unclear if it's just a series of students or if it's one person has done it over the years, over and over again. If it's somebody, you know, maybe a former university alum or maybe just somebody that lives in that town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There genuinely is no theories about who is doing it.
I have a theory.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Spider-Man.
Nice.
It's the only possible.
Nice.
He's alive and well and living in Missoula, Montana, right? Is that what he's doing in Missoula?
Look, I could see this. But the only thing I will add to it is like 30-year-old Spider-Man. Like, we always see Spider-Man in his teens or something like that. And sure, New York City's really fun. The big city, big lights and everything. You get to it.
Got nothing on Missoula.
A good 15 years of crime fighting. You're like, I want to calm down. Like, I want to go where he just Googles, like, where? What's like the safest city? I'm going to be Spider-Man. Better than the safest city. Like,
he's gotten tired of the rat race.
But I have one task, and that's it.
He doesn't have any skyscrapers to web off of, so he doesn't have to worry about doing that, right?
You just drive to whatever it is.
Yeah, his pickup truck.
Your local Montana
coffee
shop.
Tell you, my theory
shop.
Has bones.
It does. Just Spider-Man just sitting there drinking coffee, just waiting for things.
Working on a ranch, yeah.
There is a suggestion that it would... So the local news talked with someone anonymous from the climbing community who claims to know of people who have done it. The news blurred their face and disguised their voice. Yes, like they really went all out on that.
That's kind of funny. I'll give them that.
They suggested it would take a team of coordinated climbers, lookouts, and logistics to accomplish, using a network of radios and group texts. Of course, this is 2025. There are cameras literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to catch someone in the act, they could have just thrown a couple of Ring cameras up there, but they've never done this.
Uh-huh. Okay. They're keeping the mystery alive, maybe. Right. You know, that's kind of...
That's just it.
It's kind of a... That's the fun part of it, right? Yeah.
Is it really a mystery if you're not trying to solve it, though? It's just a thing, then.
I
Such a tradition now. Yeah, right.
I really feel like they're better off, and I'm gonna show Aaliyah and Seth a little bit of a picture.
Oh,
of
there
this,
it is. Okay, wow.
The pumpkin on the spire. It's a gigantic pumpkin.
Yes.
And the spire could not be.
It's like a traditional clock tower is what with a pointy tower with a spire on the top.
Yeah. Easy climb.
No, that's very steep. Very high up. Yeah.
I have
Man, they have a gorgeous campus.
Only
I just
further supporting my Spider-Man theory. Yeah,
I don't to Aaliyah's point, I don't know anybody other than Spider-Man that could do this. Like even with what they were saying with the anonymous local climber, and I love that they blurred them out. I love that they treated it like it was like an FBI informant or something.
That was Spider-Man, by the way.
You know, and they like deep in your voice are like, "Yeah, it was me. I put the pumpkin up there."
I like the idea of news stations that don't necessarily have the budget to like blur people out. So, sir, could you just disguise your voice a little bit for us? We don't really have it. Hold this sheet up in front of you. That's all the. So I can't help it. My brain is always looking for answers and loves information and loves learning. But every once in a while, we come across things, and I'm like, I love that we don't know this. I like that we don't know how this is done.
There's got to be some, you know, mysterious things out there. We still need that. We need it. Yeah. The unknown is still
and good. I kind of hope to the point of the end of this article with the whole, you know, we could put cameras everywhere. We could probably figure out who's doing this if we wanted to. I hope that they get that, too. The part of the fun of this is not knowing the mystery. Yeah. Is not, you know, say one day all of a sudden, like the breaking news, they've got a like on Good Morning America, Sasquatch is going to be on there. We found Bigfoot. We're going to interview him, and we interview Bigfoot
after many years,
and he could not be more boring. He could not be more of just a boring like Mr. Bigfoot. Where have you been hiding all this time? In the woods.
John Lithgow's house.
I never left. Like, it's just a boring, horrible interview. He's actually not even that furry or hairy and all this. He's actually blurry. That's the reason why all of his pictures are blurry.
Right. You know, I love the idea of him really upset about Harry and that sense. It was so wrong. I mean,
that was not representative of our culture at all.
Yeah. I can't believe that.
So, in theory, Bigfoot lives way up in the woods. By you know that reasoning, he probably wouldn't get to keep up on movies very much.
That's fair.
I love the idea of him just seeing Harry and the Hendersons. And this is why he comes out of like the woodworks.
He risked it just to see that. How am I being portrayed in the popular culture?
I'm sure they portray me great. I'm sure they... What?
Like, what is this garbage?
Oh, I
don't know why he has a New York accent.
This has nothing to do with the weird religion that some people have made out of me.
I can't believe the way they treated me. I hope there's no shows where they try to find me out there.
We figured it out. That's why. They keep looking in the Northwest. He's in New York.
That's why
he's up in New York. It's by Niagara Falls.
They got plenty of woods up there. Yeah. That's where he's been hanging out this whole time. I hope they don't find they figure this mystery out.
No, it's too much fun. It's too much fun. There. Yeah.
What is it going to cost for Halloween, everybody?
Oh.
Those K-pop demon hunter costumes are going to be
free.
They ain't free. So what are people going to be spending? Two new polls on Halloween spending just landed, and it's not one of our cheaper holidays, as everybody probably, any parent out there knows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
One poll found the average person who celebrates will spend $289. Total.
Wow, okay.
Right. And that includes parents and non-parents, that include as far as that goes.
Gotcha.
And that's it. For parents, it includes the kids to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
If you're celebrating without kids, it's $193, but the average parent will shell out about $440 with their kids included and everything.
Woo.
I'm assuming that's if you have the standard nuclear family. Welcome to my blended
family. No. Yeah, you're an outlier on that one.
With seven kids,
yeah.
And then me and my husband who absolutely dress up, and it gets pricey.
I love the modern Brady Bunch that you guys have over there.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
And we're always in charge of getting Halloween costumes. So it's pricey. But we love doing it.
Here's a breakdown of what that $289 goes to and where the money goes. $58 on costumes, $57 on decorations, $51 on party supplies, another $51 on tickets for things like haunted houses and stuff like that, corn mazes and everything.
Yeah.
$50 on candy or trick-or-treaters, and $23 on random stuff.
Cool.
Okay.
A separate poll pegged the total spending at $296, so right around $300, and that one found that we'll spend $33 on costumes for pets this year.
What?
No.
I would never dress up my pets.
No, don't do that.
So I don't know. This is one of those things that I feel like it is very relatable to, you know, most people out there and everything, mm-hmm. as far as how much these things cost. And I don't think this is, you know, breaking news to a lot of, again, parents right. out there or anything like
well,
that.
Well, and even if you're like building your own costumes or making mm-hmm. them, it's still, I mean, you still need materials and yep. stuff. So it's not as expensive, but it's still, you know, it can, depending on how elaborate the outfit is, it yep. can cost a few dollars. So.
And we're seeing we're seeing kind of a fight go on with this holiday, and I think we'll see it a similar thing with Christmas, where people breaking news, nobody has any money, you know, that's right. just shocking to anybody or anything. But man, when it comes to our kids, we find ways.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
like I can remember growing up, I did not get a lot. I don't know if I got maybe once or twice. I got a birthday present, and I didn't get a whole lot whenever there was Christmas. Mm-hmm. But I got something on Hanukkah and Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was going to have something to open,
right?
Even
right.
if it was just something small.
Yeah.
Even if and my parents actually did this one year for Hanukkah. I got a Lego thing. A little, mm-hmm. just a little, like one of those $5 little Lego yep. kits or whatever. And my dad had the brilliant idea of giving me so many pieces a night.
Oh, good.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. By the fifth night, my mom and I had talked him into just giving me everything.
Just give me the whole thing. Come on.
I think he, like in the early days, he mixed up like Christmas and Halloween, or Christmas and Hanukkah. So he would think that like they'd had to be a huge surprise, whatever I was getting for Hanukkah. I was like, no, it's not like that.
It's basically hilarious. The same thing. But
you
know.
Gift, yeah. Dad.
So the where we're spending this is kind of going to vary for different families and yeah. everything mm-hmm. too, because another cool thing that I think we've seen the rise of, and our own Macmillan Library hosted one of these, are these costume exchanges.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool.
Say you do spend a good $40, $50 on that K-pop demon hunter costume for your 10-year-old or something like that. Next year, shocker here, not going to want to be the K-pop demon hunter.
Probably not.
Yeah. But whatever the new thing is and stuff. But right. that costume, some other little kid may want to be that. And being able to trade that for, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. It's no different than the hand-me-down costumes I got from my aunts and uncles mm-hmm. when I was a kid, or my brother and sister got my scarecrow costume or right, something like right. that.
Yep. Yeah.
I like seeing that. It's one of the things that is kind of a shame about this too in some ways, because things don't get done because we as human beings, we just find a way to get things done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't hear, I think, the barking that you might hear about this, because we're just going to find a way. And that's really cool. I love that about human beings. I love that about people in general, especially Americans. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, are the powers that be see that, and they're just like, okay, well, we can keep getting, you know, just making ourselves fat and rich and everything. but I am proud that we still celebrate yeah. this holiday, that we oh, still
fun.
Do this.
It is fun.
It's a good one. Yep. NRF, the National Retail Federation, predicts record year for Halloween spending, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe that.
They are estimating.
Does that include inflation?
It has to, right?
It's gotta.
I wonder.
It's gotta be part of it, right?
I wonder that with box office numbers all the time, and they started to do that right away, where, okay, we gotta adjust this
to for inflation. Yeah.
Right? Now, that's yeah. why you still see Gone with the Wind in the top 10, mm-hmm. like yep. biggest box office of all time.
Right, yeah. right, right, right.
They gotta be doing that with this, because they're yep. saying, we're gonna spend a record $13.1 billion on Halloween this year as a country.
Wow.
I believe it. I mean, I have, just driving around Rapids, there's so many great Halloween displays outside of people's houses, and I remember as a kid, like my family would, hey, let's get in the car. We're going to go look at Christmas lights at Christmas time. It's like, I'm about to like, hey, kids, get in the car. We're going to go look at Halloween displays. Like people are yeah. hardcore about it. And I love it. love it.
I like the idea of doing that. Yeah. That's fun. And I've been talking to my mom and dad about driving around and doing that. I think they'd really enjoy it.
It's a fun and relatively cheap way to enjoy Halloween. That's right.
Want to remind everybody the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center is inviting you to their annual Domestic Violence Awareness Vigil. Please join us to honor those tragically lost their life due to domestic violence-related homicides in 2024. We are celebrating those that support survivors and work to make change in our community. The theme for 2025 is Everyone Knows Someone. Reminds us to work together and to learn about the cause and impacts of domestic violence in our community. Mm-hmm. You see around town purple all over the place. Mm-hmm. Many of us wearing purple. And, of course, our city lights on our bridge turning purple and mm-hmm. all that. And you can be a part of this day on Thursday, October 23rd, at Mill Library's Auditorium. 6 o'clock in the evening, we'll be having a celebration of this and talking mm-hmm. about it more. I appreciate everybody attending. You can find out more at FamilyCTR.org. FamilyCTR.org. Spread the word about this one, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And very important.
Stick around. We got a great hour of show coming up for you right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.